Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this life, in order to get anything right, we have to learn it. Unless and until we don't learn, don't take the pains and the difficulty to learn it, we don't know it. Taqwa has to be learnt as well. It doesn't just come automatically. I heard about taqwa and then I've got it. Unfortunately, this is the notion we have, that I've heard about it, so I've got it. Whereas taqwa is such an important ingredient in our lives that it is the provision for the road. It's like the fuel. Like, you cannot imagine the motor car moving without the fuel, then a man can't move. His spiritual self will be stagnated, he'll come to an abrupt halt, spiritually, if he doesn't have taqwa. Outwardly, it may seem that he's moving, but really there is no movement, there's no progress in him. This is where the disobedient is deceived. He feels everything is happening, everything is working, so what's the need to learn all these things? I'm eating well, I'm living well, I'm sleeping all right, I've got a home, so what's the need to learn these things here? So sometimes what happens is with persisting upon a sin, وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. When you keep persisting on sin, then your heart becomes dead. Then you can't distinguish, you can't see. That's a type of a punishment, a very severe punishment. Like the hadith says, لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ النَّاسُ أَنْ تَرْكِهِمُ الْجُمُعَاتِ. People should refrain from living out Jum'ah. أَوْ لَيَخْتِمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And if they don't refrain, then Allah Ta'ala will put a seal to their hearts. So, we understand that there is a thing like sealing the hearts. Right? And though we don't see the seal, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a seal. And that seal is present. Just that we cannot see it. Like we believe that they are the kiram and katibin, and they are writing down, right? Right and left, they are writing down. We don't see them, but we know that this is a genuine thing, that there is the two malaika, and they are writing down every big and small deed. So similarly is the case of a seal, then Allah Ta'ala seals the heart. When that heart is sealed, he can't see any longer. Like if the eyes are blocked, you cannot see. Right? So similarly is the heart. If Allah Ta'ala places a seal onto the heart, then no matter what you try, you can't see. You can't see right from wrong. You can't see halal from halal. You can't see faraz from nafil. You can't see it. Heart is blocked. Some years ago, one person came here for i'tikaf. So it's totally a new person. I didn't know him, quite unfamiliar. So after a week or so, he began to relate to me his own life. See, my life was that I wouldn't perform a Jummah namaz. I had a thriving, very flourishing business, a bakery of my own. And I wouldn't perform a Jummah namaz. But I had this in mind that I mustn't miss out 3 Jummah namaz consecutively. Because that is totally wrong. 1 namaz is all right. 2 namaz. Now see how you misconstrued the hadith. لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ النَّاسُ أَنْ تَرْكِهِمُ الْجُمُعَاتِ. Because it's jama siga. Because it's plural, right? And in Arabic, three makes up a plural, right? So you're supposed to be not missing three. One, two is all right, but three you must miss out. So he must construe the whole thing. So the seal comes up as a result of us falling to wrong. So the antidote to wrong is taqwa. If you want to block yourself, then you need to have the breaks of taqwa. Then taqwa has got three levels. Taqwa has got a primary level, entry level taqwa. Every level of taqwa is useful, is beneficial. Be it the entry level or be it the advanced level, but whichever the level of taqwa, then it's beneficial. The entry level is beneficial in this way, that at least the person will guard himself against disbelief. And guarding yourself from disbelief, eventually it will take you to Jannat. Maybe you have to pay for the wrongs that you have done, right? But eventually you'll get to Jannat. So taqwa will imply guarding, to guard yourself, right? And this guarding, this taqwa, doesn't mean that you fear Allah so much that you can't work, you can't perform, you can't do anything, you can't practice now. You overcome with fear. See? So some person misconstrues that taqwa, this fear. So now if you're so engulfed and so consumed with fear, then you can't move because you become mentally unstable, right? You see in a classroom, sometimes the child is overcome with fear. When he's overcome with fear, then the sabak that he knows, he forgets it. He knew the sabak, but then he forgot the sabak because he's struck with fear. So this unlimited fear is not the thing, is not the solution. So which level of fear? So the hadith says, لَوْ مَقْسِمْ لَنَا مِنْ خَشْيَتِكَ مَا تَحُولُ بِهِ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ مَعَاسِكَ. Allah Ta'ala grant me that level of fear that becomes a barrier between me and my sins. So you need that fear, but what level of fear? That level of fear that can become a barrier. You want to do a wrong, but that fear comes and intervenes. You want to see something wrong, and that fear comes and intervenes, right? So that is the level of fear that is required. So that level of consciousness that I have that barrier, you know, whether I'm open amongst people or in secret. You know. One was in my lounge once and there was a guest, you see. So there was that ice cream van that was going past. Now that ice cream van has that music, you see. So as that music was playing, so this guest began to stamp his feet. So his little child, maybe about 4 or 5 years of age, Abba, is wrong what you're doing. You're following the beat. So the child caught up that the father is doing wrong. So this taqwa doesn't have to be, it's not a complicated thing, it's a straightforward thing. If it was a very complicated thing, this 5, 6 year old child wouldn't have picked it up. He picked it up that the father is following the beat of that music. So it is something that you can understand it. But it's another effort that is required to learn it, to perfect it. You may understand it, but have you learned it and have you perfected it? So the child picked it up. The father was... Because if he was not entertaining himself with that music, he wouldn't have been stamping his feet. The fact that he's stamping his feet shows that there's something wrong. Allah maqsim lana min khashyati. It's a long story, just cutting it. See, at any situation, whether the ears, the eyes, the Haram Sharif, it was an Arab child, maybe about 7 years of age. So this child, he goes and complains to his father, okay, Abba, you know what? I saw someone in the tawaf, you know. And whenever the child was kept by the mother, in the Haram Sharif. Father is doing whatever he's doing. So the child comes and reports to the father, okay, whilst I was with my mother, I noticed one person making tawaf. And whilst he was making tawaf, mother kept on looking at him, staring at him. And again, when he came for the second round, but she does this always. This person here comes over television. When he comes on television, then she goes and kisses him on the screen. So you see this taqwa, whether you are alone or you are amongst people. Allah Pak is watching you. Taqwa is not just that you leave something for the fear of people. Sometimes we misconstrue taqwa, that taqwa means, you know, I mustn't be viewed by people. Remember, these cold drinks just came out, cold drinks, you know. So you get different flavors and you get a soda water. All. So one Mulana came to give a bayan in a certain place. The bayan was over. So one person of the town invited him to his shop. Came to the shop, like, oh, invite an alim, make dua and all that. So that shopkeeper, he opened up a soda water to drink. So the Mulana said, hey, this is wine, but don't drink this. Because this is the first time that he's seen it in his life. And when that thing was opening, you know, in the old days, there was a different type of a opener. Now it's a different type. Before, it's something like a cork and you pull the thing out. So one shot, you know, that gas just shot out. You know, it shot out with that speed. So he said, this can only be wine, because wine has got a lot of gas. And that gas shoots out. So the Mulana is warning this person, but don't drink this thing, it's wine. So he explained to the Mulana, it's not wine, it's soda water, just that they filled it up with gas, therefore the thing is shooting out with that type of force. Anyway, the Mulana understood it. And he drank some, and then he offered the Mulana. Said, Mulana said, no, hey, this is wine, man. He said, I'm telling you, this is not wine. Right? Otherwise, I would have been dizzy already, right? I would have been wobbling already. Now you see me composed, I'm very calm, nothing happening to me. So he offered it to the Mulana. Eventually, Mulana took it. When the Mulana took it, he said, now, when he drank about three-quarters of the bottle, little left, I mean, Mulana is enjoying it. So he said, now, I am going to get dizzy now. You see, you just see here. He said, plague it that I get dizzy. So Mulana got a shock of his life. He said, hey, what's going to happen to me now? You know, please, just lock me in one room and nobody sees me. What's going to happen to me? At night, I'm going to give bayan that mustn't take any intoxicants, etc. And yeah, in the day, people are going to see me, and I am already in that state. Then, you know, how are the people going to receive me? So, Mulana, it's too late now. You've taken the thing, you're going to turn just now. I said, please, just take me to that room, you know. But no, Mulana, what has happened now. There's no point in hiding you. You've taken the thing, now you must suffer the consequence. And Mulana is pleading, he's crying away. After he got him really struck with fear, he said, well, I was just playing a prank with you. Otherwise, you would have seen me dizzy already. Somehow he got it. So that fear doesn't mean you are just concerned about people that are around you. Generally today, this is what happens, that we feel that fear only refers to the things that people despise, dislike. Like if you were to receive a proposal, right? So if the proposal was coming from a person that was in drugs, right? You will turn it down totally. Just get away. Don't waste my time. But if the proposal were to come from a bank manager, then say, no, we have to consider this. Whereas this is haram. If this person is eating suraj, this person is also eating suraj. Both are the same. And this person may be even worse, because his whole livelihood, his whole house runs on that. This person must be taking the drug occasionally, maybe once in 2 days, once in a week, he must be taking it. This person is worse. But now, why the disparity? The disparity is because people view this as wrong. They disgust this. Right? And this one here, they don't take it so bad. In fact, a person will take a pride in saying that, you know, my uncle or my friend is a bank manager. You can sort out things. Huh? So here he takes pride, and here, because people look at this with disgust, therefore he don't accept this, doesn't want to entertain this. See? So he don't want to entertain because of people. Now that's not taqwa. So the entry level of taqwa is that thing stops you from disbelief. And getting guarded from disbelief is also a favor of Allah Ta'ala, a blessing of Allah Ta'ala, that at least eventually you will get into Jannah. Though it was just the entry level, but that entry level taqwa also was so great. Then you get a secondary level of taqwa. Right? The secondary level of taqwa, what does it do? Then that secondary level of taqwa, it guards you from the disobedience, general disobedience. This is haram, this is halal. Right? So the person that comes to a khanqa, that he learns, and he becomes a little bit somewhat familiar, provided there's a concern. See, the most important thing in the khanqa is, you come with a concern. لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. You come just disconcerned now. It's like Ramzan now. We have to pass Ramzan. And the roza, atum, it will become too lengthy. We'll come here and our time will just pass. Then it's not called a concern. Coming with a concern. So when a person comes with a concern, then he takes something and goes back. But he comes just casually, then there's no real benefit. Though we will not say that he's totally deprived, but he doesn't get the real benefit that is supposed to be acquired in such a gathering. So you come in with a concern, with a fikr, right? You will definitely get something. The words of Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi, Talab Sadiq Ma'al Fikr, that you need to have a genuine, you need to seek, you need to go for it, right? But with a concern. So you have a genuine thirst for it, but with the thirst, you're also concerned. I must get this right. I'm going off. I need to get this right. So if that concern is there, then you will not leave it until you have acquired it. You will only leave it after you've acquired it. But you don't have that concern. You come here 5 days, 10 days, you go on class. So that means that there isn't a genuine concern. The concern is there that until you didn't get it right, then you're not over. You go for a tooth feeling, right? Sometimes it's a root canal. And that root canal may take you at least about 3 or 4 visits to the dentist, right? So until you haven't got it finished, you're concerned. You don't say, no, I did one treatment, it's over now, class. You don't say that. You've started off, and you only leave it after you have finished it. You want to get through your board exams, right, as an accountant. So you don't just write one paper and over. Then they tell you, no, you have to serve articles, then you come and write a paper and whatever. So you go through the whole system. When you've got it, then you feel at ease. So that's called a concern. But you just came, you said, serve articles 1-2 times. You went to a company and you did some articles. So I served articles. That's not called a concern. A concern is, until I don't have it, I am really worried about it. I must get the thing done. Person has got cancer, then they give him some type of a therapy, radium therapy or chemotherapy, right? So that therapy sometimes goes over 6 months, 7 months. You must go for a treatment every week or every 2 weeks. You must go for a treatment. So if you just went for one treatment and you said, no, I'm over, will you say that the treatment is over? No, you just started the treatment. You must go for the entire treatment. And if you don't go for the entire treatment, the chances are that cancer will come up again in your body. So the same, you started off the lesson of taqwa, and if you got a concern, then you take it right till the end. When you take it to the end, now you say, no, I've achieved it, alhamdulillah. Somewhat, I've got an understanding now. Otherwise, if you went, you came in, and midway you left it, then that shows that you didn't have a real concern. So that is what Allah says, in the فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. If you've got a concern, then this is going to be beneficial to you. It will work for you. And I explain what's the meaning of concern. That until you haven't got it, you at it. Tere dar par aaye hain, joli bar ke jayenge. We have come to your door. Until we didn't get what we're supposed to be getting, we'll remain at your door. We'll keep persisting. And Allah Pak likes this. When the person persists, you know, mulihin, he persists, no, I want to get it. I'm trying. No matter how long it's going to take me, but I'm going to get this thing, inshallah. So this continuous trying and struggle, continuous, even if it is small steps, but you are trying all the time. Someone is running, someone is taking small steps, but he's trying all the time. Allah Pak likes this. So this is the second level of taqwa. First level I showed you the primary level, and I showed you the second level. Right? Then there is an advanced level of taqwa. Right? Well, if we try, then we try for the ultimate, don't we? We can make, say, a 100% profit on a commodity, then why be content with 20%? 20% also is an advantage, right? 20% also is something good. But if you can make 100%, then why not? Property, business property nowadays, you're lucky to get about 9%, right? 8-9% returns, right? But if someone comes in and tells you that you're going to get about 60% on this thing here, say you must grab the thing. Just see that you can keep something for me. 60%. So your eyes open out, isn't it? So similarly is this advanced level. And for that advanced level, what happens is that it's a way to guard your righteous work. Whatever good works you have done, now one is the acquiring, and then is the act of guarding it, to protect it. It's not just acquiring, but the act of guarding it as well. There was one wealthy boy here, you know, very, very wealthy. So I asked him, you know, you are so wealthy now, there's no need for you to go and work now. Well, enough now. So Mona, no, you got it wrong, he's telling me. So why? He says, it's even more important to sustain that wealth. To earn the wealth is important, now to sustain that wealth. What he was telling me, what he was getting at, is now, we are living a certain standard, right? Lifestyle. Now, we came to this lifestyle, an expensive lifestyle. Now we need to sustain the lifestyle. That's what he's saying. And to sustain it, we need to do something. Otherwise, if we are here and we don't sustain that lifestyle, we don't work, then it's going to dip then. So in order to see to that you continue, you need to sustain your taqwa. The levels of taqwa has to be sustained. So, now, the higher level of taqwa is, what it requires of us is that anything that will distract you from your goal, you're not interested. This thing will distract me. Right? Even though it may not be sinful, but you know it's going to be distracting you. Right? It's not sinful, but it's going to be distracting you from your goals. So you just leave it out. Now, for example, you're chit-chatting with people, right? Now you know it's going to distract, it's going to confuse your mind. You've got a phone now, you feel, if I don't look up at every message, then the munkar nakil is going to catch me in the grave, you know. So this message came in, and it came, there was a message also, you know, and it gave you a signal that I came, but you didn't pay attention. So rude of you that the message came, but you didn't even pay any attention to that message. So the Munkar Nakir will mark you down on the cover. So I have to look at every message. So anything that will distract you, you know, if you go through one message, right? For some time your mind is all perplexed. Sometime this person wrote out this message, what it means, and why did he write the message, what is he getting at? Now your namaz time comes, and namaz time the same thought is just ringing in your mind. Yesterday they read that article. Admiral Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah was studying in Delhi. And there was a short route to the madrasa. Maulana avoided the short route to the madrasa and he preferred taking a long route to the madrasa. So someone asked Maulana, there was a short route to the madrasa and you avoided that short route and you preferred taking a long route. What was the reason? So Maulana says, you see, the short route is through the bazaar, to the shops and bazaars, right? And if I take this short route to the madrasa, then my eyes will fall on the different things that the bazaar has to offer. There's sweets here, there's chocolates here, there's clothing here, there's bicycles there, motorcycles here, motor cars this side. So there's a lot of things that the bazaar has got to offer, right? Everything the bazaar has got to offer. Then you want every offers you got, right? And that thing is offering a lot of holidays, brochures, and the pictures they got, you know. So all these things will occupy my mind. When these things will occupy my mind, then I can't concentrate in my work. I came to study, and I need a clear mind for my study. And if my mind is occupied with all this thing here, then how can I concentrate? See how it's going to distract me. I'm passing one place, like I tell the students, you know, that come from Overport, so for you all it's a big mujahada. Very, very, very big mujahada. Maybe your sawab will be much more. So they look up at me. I say, Overport now, look at that one street, Spark Road, Spark Street, right? From one, ek taraf se lekar ke dusri taraf, one side to the other side, maybe there are about 30 eating shops, you know, kebabish and what they got. Now you have to leave all this and then just be content with the food of the home. It's a big mujahada, that. What are they? One is pizza shop, one is some other shop, and what, you know. So when I go past and look at all the shops there, so many shops, and a youngster now, he sees all these things, they only crave for it. So you see how these things will just distract you. Just looking around, going to these places which will catch your attention is very dangerous, very, very dangerous. Right? You're living a nice life, comfortable with your wife, children, all that. Nice, comfortable, warmth, mohabbat, etc. Then you see a woman, right, in the workplace, or you see a picture of a woman dressed, and, or a figure, and all that, right? Now, your mind is already getting worried that why can't my wife be so pretty like this thing here? So when you looked at this picture or that girl at the workplace, then you lost the respect for your wife. Right? When you lost the respect for the wife, you're not showing that level of love that you showed before. The way it started from, you allowed your eyes to wander around. When you allowed your eyes to wander around, you're almost showing the warmth, the love and the attention to your wife as you ought to be showing. So see the problem that you've created. So looking around, going into these places, it comes with a price. You're going to these places, then you're going to these places with a price. That thing will get stuck into your mind. And then the good that you have, you will not be content with it any longer. Right? You got, say for example, you got kui at home, right? And you come out and you see coke and everything else, right? And the way the thing is being advertised, marketed, so you get distracted from that kui. See? So you're going to see all these things here, then, you know, as though you got something at home, got that mug and masoor at home, and there you're seeing pizza and everything else, there's a mug and masoor, you lose the taste for it. So, don't allow yourself to be distracted. You're going to go out, you'll get distracted. When you get distracted, you will lose the respect, you will lose the the affinity, the respect for your own. It was halal, permissible. Now you're going to go run behind all these things here. So this is the advanced level, the third level of taqwa. The you move away from anything that has got that potential to distract. Whether it's a company, whether it's a place, whether it's an article that you're reading, whether it's a people that you are interacting with. But you know, now they're going to distract you. Right? They're talking and they're discussing. For example, they're discussing about girls, right? So isn't this going to distract you? Or it's a cult, it's a company of the wealthy, right? And they're talking about fast cars, right? Ferrari and Porsche and all that. So then isn't that going to distract you? So, you know, I am backwards with them. See these people, how they're moving. So it's going to distract you at some point or the other. It's going to distract you. So the simple thing is, right, don't go to those places or don't mix around with those people that will distract you from your main cause. Main cause is Allah Ta'ala and Akhirat. It's all sideshows, whether it's cars, whether it's more beautiful homes, whether it's more delicious foods, etc. All these are sideshows. So because of the sideshows, why should you miss out the main cause? Main cause was Allah Ta'ala. Main cause was the Akhirat. Main cause was Jannah. That was the main cause. But because of what you saw here, and you're getting distracted, you're getting moved out, really, it's not intelligence. It's unwise. So, you see this dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, يَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ خَشْيَتِكَ. I ask that fear, that level of fear, that will intervene. It will come as a barrier between me and the disobedience. At any given time, I'm alone and I'm amongst people. Youngsters today, I remember some times back, so when you talk to youngsters, right, then they have that realization, you know, don't do this thing here, don't do this thing here. So he came, spent some time with me, a few days, about 4 or 5 days. By the fourth day, the youngster said to me, now, Mona, I got an urge to masturbate, what do I do now? What do I do? See? Now you go out into the bazaar, into a shopping place, you go out all through these places here, then you get worked up. And when you get worked up now, then you need to release that pressure. Right? And you don't release that pressure, you don't feel at ease. But where this pressure, where did it build up? This was the place you went out. That pressure built up in you. When it built up in you, now you need to release that pressure. Had you not gone there, then there wouldn't have been any pressure in you. But you went there, you were exposed to those things here. Your mind is working. When you see there's an eye contact, you saw that thing, then you get impressed. And that photo is in your heart. This doesn't have to be only with a youngster. One man is about 70 years of age. So he tells me one day, hey, I was just looking at the Sunday Times and I came across one photo, you know. Now I'm making a ruku and she is front of me. I'm making sajda and she is front of me. You know, at the most crucial moment, sajda was the most crucial part of your namaz. And the ruku was the most crucial part of your namaz. At that time, this girl is in front of me. See, رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَا كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ. The simple translation, the basic translation is that these idols have misled, right? Many, many people is misled. So, كُلُّ مَا أَلْحَاكَ أَنْ رَبِّكَ فَهُوَ سَنَمُكَ. But everything that distracts you from Allah Ta'ala is your idol. What is your enemy? Your enemy is that which distracts you from the goal. Like your shop is your goal, right? Shop is your goal. So, if someone comes and distracts you from your business, right, say, you're sleeping here, and let's go, there's a sports event, you know. Hashim Amla is playing, you know, Muslims, support the Muslims, you know. So, let's go there for that sporting event. And leave out the business, right? Now, we'll enjoy ourselves and we'll see the match and, you know, we'll come back. So you will count that person to be your greatest enemy. This person doesn't want me to earn, to prosper. I'll be in the business, In this day, maybe I'll get about 5,000 rand profit. So this person can't see me. He must be to pay 500 rand, and that 500 rand must go for waste. What I'll get? I'll be supporting this team here or that team, and if I'm going to support them, then how are they going to pay me for that? You know, I did something for you. I'm supporting you. You're supposed to be returning the favor. You are supporting, for example, Bafana, right? What will Bafana do for you? Will they do anything? If you're stuck on the rent, will they do something for you? If you're starving, they'll do something. But the years that you are supporting, hey, every match I attended, you know, I bought the jersey also. And I got the photo, I got the signatures, all I got everything. And I went for so many matches. I flew over to Cape Town to see them. Now I'm stuck. I supported them for all the years. Now what are they doing for me? No, you know, there's no recognition of the good that I've done. I've supported them over the years. Nothing for me. So the other tafsir is this. Kullu ma alhaka an ilahik an rabbik fahuwa sanamuk. Everything that distracts you. A company, a people, a book, an article. You got a goal. Allah Pak is the goal. He is the beloved. I've got him, I've got everything. And I didn't get him, I didn't get anything in life. If I didn't get Allah Ta'ala, what have I got? And if I got Allah Ta'ala, then I don't need anything after that. And I got him, then I got everything. Everything I've got. There's still one story in this up now. I think it was Mahmud Ghaznavi. He became very, very excited one day. Very excited. So he opened out his vaults and he announced that anybody places his hand on any precious item that belongs to him. So he opened the vaults. There's diamond, rubies, gold, silver, etc. Someone placed his hand on this, someone on the other. And the slave that was fanning him kept on gracefully fanning him. Now, he's staring at the slave. But didn't you hear the announcement? And the slave is not at all deterred. He is not distracted. Yes, I heard the announcement. But if you don't have brains, you don't have common sense, see these people here. He's the Minister of Finance, Minister of Industry, Minister of Tourism. See, they're all running for these things here. And you? And he's gently, calmly, composed, and he's just fanning the king. So don't just give me an explanation. Why aren't you going after these things like these people are going? So he says to the king, you made an announcement. Yes, I did make an announcement. And my word is my honor. I won't fall back. Right. So gently, the slave said, so your announcement was whoever places his hand on anything that belongs to him. Right. So gently, gracefully, he took his both hands, placed it onto the hand, onto the shoulders of the king. Tu hamara, tu zami hamari, sama hamara. You are ours, everything is ours. The king now, he's the king of the whole place. If I got the king, I got the whole thing. Why take one gold, one silver, and one gem? Why take everything. Don't take one small bits and pieces. So anything that distracts you from Allah Ta'ala, really, that's your idol. That has taken you away. So see within your life, and within your setup, anything that will distract you. You are living a composed life, calm life, comfortable life. Everything was going on smooth until you came with this thing here. Now your whole mind is in a turmoil. Like in our situation, most of you won't like the example, but this isn't a better example that I can give. Right? Until we don't go for higher education, university, our minds are very calm, relaxed. But when the door of the university opens up, you see, hey, this person is a doctor. And you know what he's earning? 150,000 rand a month. So when you're, hey, what he earns. Now your mind goes crazy. Hey, he can earn this, man. 200, 300, see what he's driving. Before that, your mind was composed. I'll have a small shop, I'll have a small home, I'll have a decent, respectable life. Continue. But when you saw this side, now you lost the composure of your mind. The calmness of your mind is gone. the contentment of the heart is gone. It's all broken down, devastated. If he can make it, I must just put on a few years and I can also make the same thing. No, one strange thought was passing my mind. Normally, this phrase is commonly used when that you're sending that girl for a little bit of a higher education, right? Don't say higher education, primary education. She's passed, for example, grade 8 or 9, and she came with distinctions, right? So the parents will say, now she's finished grade 8 or 9, and she must be remaining at home now, because now she must wait for her more important status or part of her life, marital, she must prepare for that. So strangely, the headmaster of the school will come to the house, and he will say, the approximate words he'll give, see, she's passed with distinctions. Why waste her life? That's the words he'll give. Well, he'll say, why waste her life? What he's actually saying, he's saying, she must risk her chastity, she must risk her deen, endanger her own respect, right, and go for this thing here. Then this will not be wasting. She endangers her deen, her chastity, her respect. That is not wasting. But if she can't see those figures, he's making 100,000, 500,000. If she doesn't make those figures, then she's wasting her life. But if she's destroying her deen, her chastity, her respect, that's not wasting. She must see that figures, then she's not wasting. And she doesn't see those figures, then she's wasted her life. Now, then we are buying that story from that person whoever is promoting and marketing this fisk, transgression, right? This type of indecent behavior that will allude and amount to an indecent behavior eventually. Then we are buying the story from him. Sometimes we think that this is just an overplay. You go to these top schools and you call in students individually. Just come casually. Let them talk. I will show you that students that are going to up to grade 9, 10, 11, right? And they will tell you, in private schools, Muslim schools, they will tell you that 80, 90% of the girls have gone through the experience fully from Alif to Asalam. And the fathers don't know it. The mothers, nobody knows about it. They've gone through the whole experience. You expose them, then that's the natural consequence. You threw someone in the fire, he must get burnt. You put him in school, that's why Allama Iqbal, I think he mentioned a poetry, Urdu, he says it. Sounds very nice in Urdu. But just the gist of it is, it's a pity Fir'aun didn't know about the universities and schools. He didn't know about it. Had he known about it, then he wouldn't have killed children. See what he's saying? It's a pity Fir'aun didn't discover the university and, the magnanimous effect it has. What can it do to a person? He didn't discover that. Had he only discovered that, then there was no need for him to slaughter innocent children. In a very glossy and a polished way, he would have eliminated, destroyed. So Allah Ta'ala give us that tawfiq, that understanding, that we understand what is taqwa, right? And then these things that are distracting us from the main cause, how to guard ourselves, how to protect ourselves.